Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Thanks so much for joining everybody on this call. This week's parsha that we just had the privilege of listening to and share is Parshas Pinchas. Just a few questions about Pinchas, about the opening parsha. We know that it says in the pasuk, and by the way, tonight's share is dedicated for the safety, the security, the peace in Eretz Yisrael. And we're davening, we're praying hard that hostages should come home safely and the soldiers should be safe. And that we should only hear nachas ruach and good news and good positive energy. So with that, we hear about Pinchas, and one of the big troubling questions about Pinchas is, well, what would we say about Pinchas in our own day? You know, he went ahead and he saw something that was wrong, and he went about correcting it. And as a result of his act, which some view as a mode or a decision made from zealotry, which we'll get to in just a second, he is given the bris of the covenant of peace and also the covenant of priesthood of kahuna. So the first thing we have to, well, these are two questions. Why was he given those two things? Why was he given the bris of shalom and bris of kahuna? Secondly, or third, why does it say that by Pinchas that it says, the word is besocham, amongst them, as opposed to saying you could say the same thing without the word amongst them. He obviously was amongst them. He was amongst the people. So that's question number three. And then question number four is, why is it that we know that Pinchas is Eliyahu, much like we hear on the other side of the coin, that Lavan is Bilam, or the neshama of Lavan went into Bilam. Essentially, they're the same person. So there's a lot of duality here. And by Pinchas, we hear that he is Eliyahu. So what is significant about Eliyahu that we know that every bris, Eliyahu is present at every single bris. It's one of the most unique features. We also hear about Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. We refer to him as a kosh shel Eliyahu. So when it comes to a bris, which can happen at any time, you know, Baruch Hashem, that is when we feel the presence of Eliyahu. And specifically on Pesach, we have a unique element of when Eliyahu comes to the table, and we have the kosh shel Eliyahu that we fill up with grape juice or wine, and that's how we go about our Seder. So those are four questions. Why is it again that he was given shalom, first the covenant of peace, the covenant number two, the covenant of priesthood, number three, what is the meaning behind Besocham that he was amongst the people, number four, why is it that Eliyahu comes to every single bris, and then we can also talk about Pesach for a brief second, but we'll get to all that in just a second. So with that brief introduction, let's just go into the Medrash Rabbah, last week's parsha. There were several miracles that happened when Pinchas decided to stop the Magepha. He wasn't aware whether or not it would end, but something had to be done. Because initially there was a few hundred people that died when Zimri went with Cusbi, and as a result of the immorality and infidelity practices of the Jewish people, when it comes to immorality, are abhorrent to Hashem. Hashem does not take these things lightly. So very strict punishments are always meted out when immorality is at play, especially when it involves idols. And when Balak realized that he couldn't do his bidding through Bilam, of God forbid, saying things that are the opposite of blessings upon the Jewish people, they resorted to the default level, which is their base model of immorality. And then they were successful. And that's how we failed. So Pinchas realized that there was a problem here, and he went about trying to create a solution, which is what every great leader has to do. So what is it that Pinchas did? He took a romach biyado, he took a spear that was underneath a sleeve that was from the length of his wrist until his elbow, and he approached the camp of Shimon, where Zimri and Cusbi were. And they mocked him. As he came closer, they said, "Ben Puti, Ben Puti, you are the grandson of Putiel." Puti is a reference or nickname for Putiel. Putiel is another name for Yisro. "You are the grandson of the Pope in Rome. You are the grandson of the chief idolater of his day. And who are you to tell us what we should do? How are you any better than any one of us?" And this is a very big complaint that they had to the, to, you know, Here he is. Who's and by the way, we can all recognize that this could happen. This can happen in our own day. We see someone doing something wrong, we want to correct it, and the guy goes ahead and says, you know, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? I am, I'm so and so, and I'm my father's so great, and who do you think you are? This is the kind of unfortunate discussions that people may have today. But Pinchas was undeterred, and he went through the gates, and he didn't say a word. Miracle number one, they didn't find his they didn't find the weapon. Number two, he wasn't distracted by all of the mockery that they leveled at him. Number three, he went into the camp and into the tent of Zimri and Cusbi. And why is that a miracle? Because we know that if someone comes, God forbid, to harm a person, Hashkim Largo, you have a requirement to defend yourself. So if Pinchas would have died at the hands of Zimri, what would have been of this story? And how many more deaths would the Jews would have suffered at the time? So that a miracle was is that Zimri did not slay Pinchas at that moment. Miracle number four was that he impaled one sword, which was only so thick and so long, but both of them were impaled on it. They both died. And then he carried, that's five and six, he carries them out on one hand and he walks through the tent and he walks out of the courtyard and he's outside and then he didn't get attacked. That was probably miracle number six or seven. There's 12 of them actually that the Medrash Rabbah brings down. I'm just trying to recollect from the whole series of events. And then he throws him on the floor and he says, Al Elo Nifku Arba Ve'esrim Elef. On account of these two individuals, 24,000 Jews had to die. Like, and at that point, he was really beyond any of the people of the tribe of Shimon. Now the Malachim wanted his head. And they said, now Hashem, kill him. Hashem says, no, I'm not going to kill him. He's my lieutenant. And I see in him judgment that he meted out, and it was in concert with what I wanted. So now I just said a loaded statement. Where do we see this in the Pasuk? Hashem says, not only am I not going to kill him, he silences the Malachim, and he says, I'm now going to give him the bris of Shalom and the bris of Kahuna. Pinchas, before this moment, was not a Kohen. Recall that at this time in Jewish history, this is the gripe of Korach to say that why should all of the power go to the children of Amram when Yitzhar was the firstborn son? So he was saying, wait a minute, you give leadership to Moshe, give the priesthood over to me, Korach. It's like an even balance. No, but you gave it to two brothers. So Hashem anointed Aaron to be the Kohen, and then Elazar was anointed to be the Kohen. But this all has to, it wasn't automatic that a child would become a Kohen until after this laid out, this series of events. And then the Kahuna transferred one generation to the next. But up until this time, it was all assigned by Hashem. So now we see something fascinating happening, right? We look back at the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv, as by the way, who was he also? It's interesting because on his father's side, it says Elazar, but Elazar was one of the was Aaron's son, obviously, but he married one of the daughters of Yisro, which means that to Moshe to him was an uncle and a nephew relationship. But in addition, he was also a brother-in-law to Moshe because he married one of Yisro's daughters. So his paternal line going up on his mother's side was Yisro, and on his father's side was Aaron. And so now we see this. So what happens over here? It says Bekanovas Kinasi that he judged the situation among the people, but look, Bekinasi. And as a result, the Jewish people were not destroyed through my Kinasi. And this is the challenge word of the evening. What does the word Kinasi mean? I see we're at 10 minutes. But I really need you guys, if you can, to stick around for another 5 minutes or so, and we'll be able to close out. I'm trying to say it as fast as I can. So the word kinasi in this context, if you look at Rabbi Art Scroll, it would be translated as jealousy or zealotry. It doesn't mean that. It means judgment. Now, we say there's the Tanit Ve'Eliyahu, there's a very famous medrash that says that Eliyahu HaNavi was the descendant of Rachel Imenu. Now, we just said a moment ago that that is impossible. So how in the world could the Tanit Ve'Eliyahu say such a thing? If you look up the line, Aaron was the son of Amram, who was the son of Levi. You go back, and Levi is the child of Leah. So how in the world does he say that he's from Rachel? Because he channeled something very famous about Rachel. When she said, Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa, the Pasuk says, Batakana Rachel Ba'achosa. And translate that word. So if we translate it according to Art Scroll, we would say, oh, he was that she was jealous of her sister. Leah, right, had four children already at the time. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right? And so she already had her portion. So Rachel had no children. So it's about Takana Rachel. She became, what does a kanoi refer to? Does this refer to zealotry? No, that's not the way we translate the word kanois, right? That's one way of translating it, perhaps, but it's a very loose translation. It doesn't really have a lot of good footing or a strong foundation. It means that since we're learning this through the lens of the Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, what it means to say is that my sister has done amazing things in her life that merited her to have these four children. What is it that I can take upon myself in order to also have that zchus? Now, that's a totally different conversation. This is a positive framing of a potentially negative discussion. She took the negative and turns it into a positive. But to Kana Racha Bachosa, she saw zchusim. She saw merits that her sister had. And that's how she viewed her sister with awe and inspiration, and she took it as a message. So that's the reason why, getting back the answer to answer one of the questions, is why is it that he is a descendant of, Elio is a descendant of Rachel Imenu, or do we say that Pinchas is a descendant of Rachel Imenu? Why? Because he triggered that very same language. Bekano is kinasi. He judged the situation in a favorable light in accordance with the way that Hashem wanted it to be judged, which means that Hashem says, where are my lieutenants? How much longer can we, the Jewish people, suffer this plague? It starts off with 2,000, then moves to 4, 10, 12, 15, 20. It's at 24,000 people are dead. How many more have to die until someone wakes up and says that it's enough? We have to stop this. Pinchas did it. And that's the reason why he got the bris of kahuna. Why specifically kahuna? Because kahuna refers to someone who absolves those from sin. And that's what a priest does. A priest goes into kachikachim and he absolves them. And that's the reason why. So now we answer the first question. He was given the bris of shalom because he acted in concert with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired. He was given the bris of kahuna because he channeled the language that Rachel had used, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu records it in his favor. Why does it say the word pisocham? Because he didn't do it for his own benefit. He did it for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, that there should be no more death among us. That answers three out of four questions. And now the fourth question, why is it that Eliyahu or Pinchas is at every single bris? And the answer, and the short answer is, that we tell this child that you're 8 days old and yet you're totally dependent upon others to provide for you. But we know that you're going to face challenges and there's going to be a lot that's going to be leveled at you, much the same as what was leveled at the namesake or the person who is right here beside you, Eliyahu Navi, who was also Pinchas. He was mocked when he was called Ben Puti and all sorts of terrible names. But he held firm and he stayed the course and he remained steadfast to Torah and mitzvot. And that's what we hope, that you will have that energy and that strength and perseverance to commandeer all of the difficulties and challenges that you will face in life. And they're not few and far between, but you have the potential to succeed because we're here for you. The Bubbies, the Zadies, everybody's here for you to support you. But not only more than this, Eliyahu HaNavi is here, and Pinchas, his namesake, is also here. And that's how you're going to succeed. And that's the continuity of the Jewish people, is to have a Pinchas. And that's the reason why we have a Koshel Eliyahu, perhaps, at the Seder night. Because on the Seder night, we say that there was a lot of, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, nobody thought that we would be able to get out of there alive. And we had to go through so many trials and tribulations and witness terrible things being inflicted upon the Egyptians, which also took a toll on the Jewish people themselves, witnessing all of the horror that they went through on the other side of the fence. It had an impact on everybody. And yet we channeled the energy of Pinchas and we said we are resolute, that we are leaving, and we are going to make HaChodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim. We're going to offer the Korban Pesach. We're going to borrow from the Egyptians, just like Moshe commanded us through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the message. That's the strength. That's the perseverance. And that, frankly, is what we really need today. We need people, all of us, and the message goes out to the world through sheer enjoyment, that we need proud Jews to stand and say, this is who we are. We are true people. We're benevolent people. We are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. We are Rachmanim in the sense that we're merciful, and we feel the pain of others, and we've had plenty of pain inflicted upon ourselves, and there's a time, and there's a rhyme and a reason for everything. We don't understand everything that happened, but we are Baishanim. We are easily embarrassed. We don't take things lightly in the sense that if we do something wrong, we have to own up to it, and we are Gomle Chasadim, and that's how we translate ourselves. That's who we are. We're constantly giving back to others, and we're donating our time, our energy, our resources in order to benefit those in need, both in Eretz Yisrael, domestically, and wherever they need the support, the help. We, Baruch Hashem, are proud people, and that positive messaging needs to go out, and that's how we demonstrate success, through channeling the spirit of Pinchas, and despite his mockery, despite what was leveled at him, he stayed strong, and we need to be just as strong, if not stronger. So with that, that closes out all four questions. I want to thank everybody for joining and wishing you all a week filled with bracha v'atzlacha.